The Koivic Pod on Off the Ball.
I do think they still have a chance, but I'll say it's all going to come down to that derby, and I think United sort of has that confidence at the minute.
Subscribe to the Koivic Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
Off the Ball's Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Hello and welcome along to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we'll hear from Leinster's Dan Sheehan ahead of Saturday's Champions Cup semi-final clash with the Northampton Saints at the Aviva Stadium. We hear from Alan Quinlan and how the provinces got on during the weekend's URC action. And we get the latest from the Irish camp as they suffered defeat to Scotland in their final Guinness Women's Six Nations game in Edinburgh. But first to Dan Sheehan, and after Leinster suffered only their second defeat of this season to the Scarlets in Wales, Leo Cullen's side will look to make sure it's only a blip. They welcome Northampton to the Aviva Stadium on Saturday for a 5:30 start. Leinster are chasing that elusive fifth star, but despite losing the last three finals, Sheehan insists that they are under no extra pressure.
Very similar to the last 3 years, we're exactly where we want to be, and we got there and we got to all those finals. Because we trusted our systems, we trusted our processes of how we prepare, and I don't think it's changed massively over the last 3 years. And so I don't think the group feels a massive expectancy, and we're definitely not looking past the semi-final. And we've made sure that all our efforts have gone into this weekend, and you know there's no tomorrow without winning on Saturday. So you know, I think it's pretty normal and routine sort of stuff. Obviously, bit more motivation to get the job done, but pretty routine.
After tearing his ACL in last summer's Ireland tour to South Africa, the Dubliner has made an astonishing comeback in rapid time. He scored 5 tries in the Six Nations, including a hat-trick against Italy. Sheehan is feeling positive about where he is physically.
I feel pretty comfortable in the team, and comfortable in my body, and comfortable in the work that has been put in by a lot of the backroom staff and physios. So it's been I suppose easy enough to get back in. Everyone's made it as easy as possible, and you know, it's nice to get a good run of games to sort of get that back. And you know, I don't think I was out for too long in the end, which is nice. So it wasn't a big transition. You know, I still had a bit of the rugby mind still going, so really enjoying the rugby, and body feels good.
And remember, you can hear live commentary on Saturday's Champions Cup semi-final on Off the Ball Saturday with John Duggan. Plus, there'll be build-up throughout the week on Off the Ball Breakfast with Ger Gilroy and Colin Buhig, and on Monday night and Wednesday night rugby with Owen Sheehan in the hot seat. To not miss a single second of our rugby coverage, why not become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Leinster assistant coach Robin McBride gave a positive injury update ahead of Saturday's game. James Ryan did train with the group and looks set to be in contention for this week. Orji Sneeman and Ryan Baird have made full recoveries and are available for selection. However, Will Connors looks like he'll be out. And after Saturday's humbling by the Scarlets in Wales, McBride is focusing on the here and now.
There's a big focus on just the here and now. I mean, what's happened in the past, we can't change, and we can't look too far forward. So it's in the here and now, really. And you know, I don't think it's a bad thing that we had a shot across the bows last week against the Scarlets, who, you know, all credit to them. They were better than us on the day. They played well against us, and it sort of put everybody back on their toes. So maybe in the long run, it's not a bad thing that we've had that little bit of a warning shot that, you know, things that we thought were locked and loaded or signed and sealed, that we're not quite infallible as we thought. So it's definitely put everybody back on their toes. So yeah, what we need to do is just, we need to get a bit more of the consistency. You know, we were good in parts, but if we get that consistency into our game, build intensity and just be focused on the task at hand, and not focus on anything else really other than the here and now.
Now, should the Irish fans be worried if just one province makes it to the URC playoffs this season? With Munster, Ulster and Connacht all chasing places in the top 8, there is a chance that Leinster could be the sole Irish involvement. All 4 provinces suffered defeat this weekend. Former Munster and Ireland back row Alan Quinlan joined Dara Smith-Nocton and Ger Gilroy on Off the Ball Breakfast on Monday morning, and they spoke about the possibility of it.
Connacht are now in 14th, they've lost 11 games. Ulster have lost 9 games, Munster have lost 9 games.
I was just going to say, there's a world here where only one Irish team makes the top eight. If it is just Leinster, are we... Because I know there's been talk of just like Leinster have
we should
done
be
good
concerned
for themselves.
If that is the case, because we have four provinces. We don't have this massive player pool. The three other provinces, Connacht, Munster and Ulster, don't make the playoffs. We should be concerned.
It's a stark contrast as well. It's not that Leinster are just sneaking in, or they're far away first.
Yeah.
And the rest are struggling. Like Connacht are in a bad place right now. They don't even have a head coach. They got absolutely hammered out the gate at the weekend. Ulster played well for 40 minutes but dominated in the second half, and they've been very flaky this season, and they've eight players leaving at the end of the season, and Munster aren't in the greatest shape at the minute.
Is it good for... it would be concerning for me going forward, and that the reality of what we want in the bigger picture for Ireland is to be going past quarterfinals and World Cups. Unless that scenario changes, that gap gets a bit closer. It shouldn't be a case of Leinster get punished for their success and their strength and depth. I think the sole focus is the other provinces have to get better. They have to look at their strategies. We should be concerned if they don't, because we've kind of prided ourselves in that at least three of them being in knockout stages every year for a long time now.
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast every weekday morning from 7:30, or if you prefer your OTB fix in glorious Technicolor, you can watch live on YouTube.
Take a detour from the ordinary.
Owen, it's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Took a long time.
It's time to get diverted.
This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
Join Owen Sheehan as he brings you the conversations you didn't know you needed to hear.
It's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly, or whenever it comes to food.
From the unexpected to the unforgettable, Diverted explores it all.
For some reason, I've decided to hitchhike through Argentina.
Irlanda.
Holanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda. See, see, see.
Available for free on all Off the Ball channels. Divert it on Off the Ball.
Ireland made sure of third place in this year's Women's Six Nations, but missed the opportunity to finish the tournament on a high after a 26-19 defeat to Scotland in Edinburgh on Saturday. Scott Beaman's side earned a losing bonus point in the process as a last-gasp Scottish try from Francesca McGee spelled defeat at the Hive Stadium, but missed the chance to win three away games in the championship for the first time since the 2017 edition. Beaman remained upbeat about how the side progressed so far this year.
We've just been talking about the new caps coming in. It was really important to grow some depth. So, you know, Jane Clursey coming in, and felt she really actually added a lot of carrying impetus when she came off the bench. You know, it's important to get go forward, to have ballast within the pack that can gain you momentum and give you fast ball to play off. And Eve Corrie's like well earned her opportunity to come in, playing through the Celtic Challenge. She's wasn't initially named in a squad, and has spent probably the best part of 6 weeks with us now, which has resulted in today. And look, both girls are actually like incredibly diligent with their work, but understand it's not just about getting the shirt. They want to be part of a successful Ireland team. And coming in and coming up to Edinburgh for a first cap isn't an easy task. And both of them will look back on their performances and thought there's bits that they can really get after and really go and continue to grow us as a group. So look, we take stock after this. We've had some good experiences. We've had some experiences where we felt we should have been further ahead. We've been trying to evolve our game a little bit. I think last year we were predominantly a kicking team, and we're trying to do bits more around that so that we can play a territory game or a possession game. So there's still plenty to go at in that. We're not the finished product yet. We get a good block of pre-season now, which we'll be able to add like more layers to ourselves and improve on the layers that we have started to embed. So where are we up to? We've definitely developed a little bit more depth. We're starting to evolve our game. We're going to keep getting better at that, but it should leave us in a better position come World Cup.
Australian rugby's worst kept secret is almost over, as Les Kiss is set to be unveiled as the Wallabies' new next head coach. Almost a fortnight after the Roar revealed that Kiss had emerged as Rugby Australia's preferred candidate, the governing body should confirm on Wednesday morning that 60-year-old Kiss will succeed Joe Schmidt in October. Kiss will be the Wallabies' fifth head coach in 6 years, following on from Michael Checa, Dave Rennie, Eddie Jones and Schmidt, who told Rugby Australia that he would only lead the men in gold through to this year's Rugby Championship. The announcement comes after almost 3 months after Rugby Australia confirmed Schmidt would finish up before the end of the year. Kiss, who didn't have an international clause in his contract, has had to break a 3-year deal with the Queensland Reds to join the Wallabies. But after weeks of negotiations, including a meeting between RA executives and Reds officials in Brisbane, less than a fortnight ago around what compensation would be on offer, it's understood a solution that has been settled. Who joins Kiss at the Wallabies remains to be seen, but it's believed that RA has always wanted to call the shots on his assistance. Stuart Lancaster, the former England boss and Leinster senior coach, is still thought to be in the mix to join Kiss in some capacity. Kiss will take over from Schmidt some 12 years after being his assistant with the Ireland national team. The former North Sydney Bears, Queensland and Australian winger joined Ireland in 2009 and helped them end their Six Nations Grand Slam drought, coaching at 2 World Cups, including one under Joe Schmidt. Fans attending this weekend's Investec Champions Cup and EPCR Challenge Cup semi-finals will be able to hear real-time referee and TMO discussions over the stadium public address systems. The Switzerland-based body confirmed the introduction of live audio feeds for the final stages of the competition as they follow suit with recent test rugby tournaments. It's the first time this feature will be used in the Investec Champions Cup, and it'll also be implemented for both the Champions Cup and Challenge Cup finals in Cardiff later this month. Referee microphones are already broadcast into stadiums during international competitions such as the Six Nations, and similar initiatives are currently being trialled in the United Rugby Championship and the Gallagher Premiership. Allowing fans to hear how decisions are made on the pitch will enhance the matchday experience and help educate spectators in real time, said the EPCR's head of matchday officials, Tony Spreadbury. It's an exciting step towards making the game more accessible to newcomers, and we're thrilled to introduce this feature during a pivotal stage of the competition. The governing body say they hope the move will add to the in-stadium atmosphere and improve transparency for supporters attending the semi-finals, not least with TMO decisions becoming an increasingly key part of the game over the last decade. Packed crowds are expected at the Aviva Stadium and the Matmut Atlantique for the Investec Champions Cup matches, and at Edinburgh's Hive Stadium and Matmut Stadium de Gerland for the EPCR Challenge Cup semi-finals. An experienced group of officials representing 7 different unions will oversee the 4 semi-final fixtures. EPCR confirmed the appointments earlier this week. Pierre Brousset of France will referee Saturday's Champions Cup semi-final between Leinster and Northampton at the Aviva, and Ireland's Andrew Brace will officiate the All-French clash between Union Bordeaux-Bègles and defending champions Toulouse at the Matmut Atlantique on Sunday. And that's about all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. Remember, subscribe in your podcast feeds to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge. I'm David Wilson, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily tomorrow.